Welcome to Red Journal Radio Show. I'm Salita, and I would like to stimulate your mind and encourage you to step out of your comfort zone with news, information, stories that will inspire and motivate you. Again, welcome to the Red Journal Radio Show. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your host, Salita, and I want to thank you for listening in to the Red Journal Radio Show. It's going to be another trial and error for right now. I really think this is going to be a great show, and I'm looking really looking forward to making this a permanent show on here. You guys know I've been out of touch for a little bit. I think my last show was about 2 months ago. I've had a lot of stuff going on, and I don't make this as an excuse, but I have had a lot going on and still have a lot going on. I had an opportunity to launch a new radio show called Black News Weekly Radio, which is the Black Louisiana Associates of Consciousness Concerns, which I do that show. I host that show with my husband on regular radio, on local radio, 88.1 FM, every Friday. We also do a Monday show, which is a women's show dedicated to women, but we don't know if that's going to stay full-blown. So we're looking at that. Excuse me, to see how far we can go with that show. But right now, Black News Weekly Radio is a show that's going to be on there for a little bit. Also, on Blog Talk Radio, as you know, this is where we're at. The Red Journal Radio Show is basically taking over what Say Your Piece did, but I'm going to change my format. And my format this time is going to be dealing with us as women, being able to talk about situations that arise in our life. Like tonight, I want to discuss stress and how do we manage it in our lives. And then I want to also give some tips on how you can make extra money. I mean, one thing is, if you love to talk like me, or are you an informational entrepreneur, we're going to discuss that, some tips from a book called How to Make Big in the Seminar Business by Paul Karasik. So I'm really interested and excited to do that. But first of all, I want to get our night started. You know, I love music. So I'm going to start off with a little Johnny Gill, the song by him. It's an older song. It's called So Much Better. So you guys just relax, enjoy yourself, and I cannot wait to come back and give you some great information about how to handle stress. Thank you.
can be to love could even be so good for me until you came around and touched my heart. You never let me down. You gave me a brand new start. Now love is a joy.
Well, you guys, we are back. I'm noticing something. I'm hoping it's not me, but I noticed that when the music was playing, something was not right. I apologize for that. Okay. First of all, I didn't get a chance to say happy Good Friday to you guys. I'm hoping you guys are enjoying yourselves. I'm hoping family came in safely if they were coming in today. I'm hoping everyone is having a great time. I'm sorry I'm turned around for right now. I was looking for something. But we're going to get on our, we're going to start talking about how to handle stress in our life. And I know everyone always has a solution to how to handle stress or have some ways of handling stress. And her name is Ms. Margarita Tartaski, who's with us some information about stress today. Now, I know everybody deals with stress because no matter what you do, you're going to deal with some type of stress. I know I do. In my life, and I try not to be as stressed out as I used to because I know it's not healthy for us. It affects our health. When our life is so in shambles or we have so much going on, we want to keep up with everything, but we can't. And it is very hard for us to do that. So what she's going to basically tell us is there's 10 ways that we can learn how to handle stress. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm being distracted real quick here. So we're going to talk about that. As you know, stress is inevitable. It walks in and out of our lives on a regular basis, and it can easily walk all over us unless we take action. Fortunately, there are many, many ways and many, many things we can do to minimize, at least minimize, or cope with stress. So saying that, number one is figure out where the stress is coming from. Now, as you know, sometimes that is easy, that's easier said than done. When you have a lot of stuff going on in your life, you have a lot of situations, kids, one kid is sick, one kid has to get to practice, you got to have a babysitter in order to let the babysitter take care of the one child, if you're a single parent, or get a relative to watch the sick child while you take the other child to a baseball game or baseball practice or band or whatever. The husband is away at work. Most of the time the husband's probably out of town, so, or they drive trucks. I mean, you can have any situation. There could be a death in the family, and you're the one who has to take care of the funeral arrangements. It could be a situation at work that's stressing you out. It could also be a friend. You're dealing with your friend's problems as well as you're dealing with your problems. So you have all these different things that come at you, and it's almost like a form of dodgeball. You know how you have to dodge the ball when they throw it at you, and if you get hit, oh, wow, you know, you're out. So lots of times that's how stress is, and that's how stress comes into your life. And you have to dodge, okay? You have to know what you want to deal with and what you don't want to deal with, and that sometimes happens to be a problem for us. Instead of feeling like you're flailing day to day, identify what you're actually stressed about. It is a specific project at work, like these are just examples, an upcoming exam, like me, still in school, maybe an argument, like I said, something that happened at work, a fight with your family. You know, we get in arguments. I know I argue with my sisters all the time, and I try not to be stressful about it because I'm the type of person where I'm an opinionated person. I say what I have to say. You know, you can either agree with it or you don't. Sometimes, and that sometimes that don't work, because sometimes you have to be able to listen to someone and find out why they feel the way they feel toward whatever situation you're talking about. By getting specific and pinpointing the stressors in your life, that's one step closer to at least getting your stress under control, okay? Being able to take action with the stress. Now, number two, it says consider what you control and work on that. There's a lot of things in life we have no control over, and then there's things that we do have control over. Now, what you have to do is you have to pick and choose things in your life that you have control over that stresses you out. If I'm driving with a car and a tire that keeps losing air, I can control that. I need to go and buy a new tire. I have control over that. If you have a neighbor that has issues with you and those issues are stressing you out, you can't control that person's attitude. You only can control your reaction to their attitude. Okay? Now, the worst thing for stress is trying to take control over uncontrollable things, just like I made an example. Because when you're inevitably failed, since it's beyond your control, you only get more stressed, like you're helpless. So after you've thought about all of this and what's stressing you out, identify the stresses that you can control, determine the best ways to take action. Okay, take example, a work project. If the scope is stressing you out, talk it over with your supervisor or break the project down into stepwise tasks and deadlines so that you know, okay, first of all, I have to gather the information. I've got 4 days to get that information gathered. Then the next step is, okay, once I've gathered the information, how am I going to organize this information? Making sure the information that I really, really need, learn how to weed out unnecessary information before you actually finish the whole project, things that you don't have to do in the project. That's going to be time consuming, especially when you've already set deadlines, and especially if the overall project has a deadline to it, so you have to keep that in mind. Okay, stress can be paralyzing. Doing what's within your power moves you forward and is empowering and invigorating. So long as you can handle what's in the box, okay, if you have a certain amount of things that are in the box and those are the only things you can worry about, and there's a lot of stuff going on outside the box, but that's not a concern of yours. You have no control over that. So the only thing you can control is whatever's in that box. And you work with whatever's in that box. And once you get all that under control, that lightens your load when it comes to dealing with stress. Now, do what you love is number three. That is a great one because I do what I love. I love to talk, so I do what I love. And it is sort of like a stress management for me because once I get it out, I'm good. I can say, oh, wow, that feels so much better. But everybody's not like me. So, you know, some people still hold on to stress, and some people are comfortable in their blanket of stress. So, you know, it's hard to get them to take off the blanket. It's like an old coat. Like I had a sweater I used to wear. It was it had rainbow colors on it. It was red, yellow, green, and dark blue. And I wore that sweater everywhere I went. And my mom used to try to take the sweater away from me. Well, I would have a fit if I could not put that sweater on and have it close to me. So that's how sometimes we can deal with stress, because we're comfortable. Some people are comfortable in all the madness in their lives. They don't want to change because havoc and chaos is how they live, is how they deal with everything. They love the chaos. But if you're a type of person who don't like chaos, you don't like being sick, you don't like your mind filled with a bunch of crap or stuff that you can't control, then you'll be able to take some of these different guidelines and use them for, you know, to help you out. Do what you love. It's so much easier to manage pockets of stress when the rest of your life is filled with activities you love. Even if your job is a stress central, you can find one hobby or two that enriches your world. What are you passionate about? Okay. I'm passionate about my writing. I love to write. I'm passionate about my sewing. I love to sew. I'm passionate about making earrings. I love making earrings. I love creating things with my hands. I love using my hands. So those are the things I'm passionate about. So I'll take those and use those to help me alleviate some of my stress. I can sit up at night sometimes when I'm stressed. Believe it or not, I do get stressed. Sometimes at night, I'll sit up and I can make about 50 pair of earrings. And it makes me feel good because I took my hands that I could have done something else, destroyed something, be destructive, and I made earrings with it. Okay? And I feel so much better. I really do. It helps me out. Say that I need, I can take and make a dress, sew a dress, okay? I did something with my hands because I'm always working with my hands. So you do, you take those and you can use them. And then, you know, if you have to come back to that stressor that you can control, you can come back to it and deal with it. But that hobby really, really helps out a lot. Okay. I know what I'm passionate about. Do you know what you're passionate about? If you're not sure, experiment with a variety of activities. Find something that's especially meaningful to you, okay? Something that you really feel good about doing. Say you love buying baby kit clothes. You might not have a baby, but you know someone who does. You know, go shopping. Pick up a couple of pieces of, you know, a couple of little outfits and give it to whoever you want. Another thing I love doing and I'm passionate about is that when I clean, I look forward to the ideal of cleaning out my closet because I know what I'm going to do with those clothes. I don't do Goodwill. I don't do Salvation Army. I literally give my clothes to the homeless shelters, the women's battered shelter. So I make sure when I go big bags. And I love doing that. That's to me, I'm giving back because you don't know my story. I was homeless, not because of abuse, but I was homeless at one time, and I can relate to them. So I give back in that way, and that's something I'm passionate about. I do every year. I clean out my closet every year, and I always make sure I'm giving something. I don't give raggedy clothes. I give nice, decent clothes and shoes. Just stuff that I've either outgrown or don't like anymore. So I give it to someone who needs it. So that's something I love doing. Now, when you find that's something that you're really passionate about, that's how you can add that in to dealing with your stress. Now, that's number three, do what you love. Okay, number four. And number four, you guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I have issues with it, very much so. I mean, really have issues with it. It says manage your time well. Oh, my God. I am so bad with managing my time. I will not lie to you. I am so bad with that. I am so bad because I have my hands in everything. I've got everything going on, and I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to, you know, I'm here, I'm there. I also do a little videography, and I do documentaries. So I'm going here, doing this meeting, I'm doing that meeting, I'm meeting people, I'm touching bases with people I've already done documentaries with, and to see where they're at, and they call me. So yes, I know what it is to not manage your time. And I'm trying to get to the point where I can be more organized. And time management is a big thing. It says one of the biggest stressors for many people is lack of time. I don't know if it's lack of time or using the time wisely that you have. For me, I don't know. Okay. Their to-do list expands while time flies. Yes. We can do too many to-do lists, and I'm guilty of that. How often have you wished for your more hours in the day or heard others lament their lack of time? But you've got more time than you think. There's a book called 168 Hours. You Have More Time Than You Think is the name of the book. And it's written by Laura Vanderkam, excuse me. And what she's saying is, we all have the same 168 hours, and yet there are plenty of people who are dedicated parents and full-time employees who get at least 7 hours of sleep at night and lead fulfilling lives. She also, in the book, she has 7 steps to help you check off your to-do list and find time to do things you truly enjoy. So 168 hours, man, I never even thought to break it down like that. So you have 168 hours to manage. Now, that seems like it's real big, but actually it probably is not. It's how you manage it and what you have in it, man. Okay. Number five says create a toolbox of techniques, which to some people that sounds like, wow, that is a lot. A toolbox, that means that I have to have a lot of techniques to deal with stress instead of having one certain. But what you can do, even though you have a lot of techniques to use, you should pick one that you feel comfortable with using on a daily basis to deal with stress. It says one stress-shrinking strategy won't work for all your problems. Okay, now, what I just said was, I said find one. Because your problems, according to what this is saying, is because you have different problems, you need to have different techniques. I don't know if I could do that. That's why I just said my opinion of that, what I thought it would say, but obviously it's not. I can't say that I'm able to do that. I would have to, because of the way my brain moves all the time, I would have to have one solid way of doing stuff, and I'm dealing with stress and, you know, use that. Some people can do more than one way, you know, different techniques. But I can't say that I'm that type of person. There's no way I can say that. Okay. And the reason for this is, I see why it's saying that. It's saying while deep breathing is helpful when you're stuck in traffic or hanging at home, it might not rescue you during a business meeting. Yes, that opens up my eyes and I understand why that is said. Okay, that's understandable. You know, taking a deep breath during, you know, okay. You can't step back when you're in a business meeting and take a deep breath because you're in a business meeting and you have a lot of people that's looking at you or you looking at them and you guys are conversating. You can't just step back. You know what, you guys? Stop. I got to breathe deeply and then I need to come back into the conversation. You can't do that. What I do find myself doing is checking out. And I was told several times, Sleeta, you check out. And when you check out, it's like you're somewhere else. And sometimes, to me, that's a coping mechanism, which is not, it really isn't polite. It's kind of rude when you're sitting in a setting where people are talking and you're supposed to be interacting. And I just blank out. I mean, I'm not saying I black out. I find myself going somewhere else for a second, and then I can come back when it's not polite at all. It's very rude sometimes, especially when someone's talking to you. And because stress is so complex, what we need is a toolbox, that's full of techniques that we can fit and choose for stressors in the present moment and later on. And a big thing is working in the present moment. How do we work in the present moment when it comes to dealing with stress? I have some real good stuff we're going to work on our next episode because I think we need to continue with the stress thing. I think it's an awesome conversation. I think it's an awesome discussion, and I definitely want to talk more about that. Okay. Now, number six says pick off negotiables from your plate. That's a good idea, using a plate and separating stuff on your plate that you can negotiate. It says review your daily and weekly activities to see what you can pick off your plate. As Vanderkam asks in her book, do your kids really love the extracurricular activities? Or are they doing them to please you? Are you volunteering for too many causes and so stealing time from ones where you could make the most impact? Oh, my God. Those are questions that I am so guilty of. Yes, I am. That's all I can say today. Yes, I am. And because I don't have any kids, my son's grown. I don't have any kids doing extracurricular activities or is it something I want him to do or want them to do? I can't answer that. I'll leave that to you mothers who have more than one child. And you have them in, like I mentioned earlier, in bands and all these different activities. Is it for you or is it to stimulate their mind, get them to exercise? Because a lot of times our kids won't exercise. So let's put them in a sport that will get them to move and, get some adrenaline going with them and get in the exercise because that's the only way they're going to exercise. We know sometimes our kids will not just exercise. Kids are not like we were back in the day. We went outside, had a good time, ran up and down the street, rode our bicycles, played double dutch, chased each other. We did all that. You know, kids don't do it as much. I'm not going to say they don't do it. They just don't do it as much now. Video games came into play, so that changes everything. So those are the things that we have to think about. Are kids going, doing cheerleading because we were cheerleaders? You know, we have to look at that when we're trying to live through our children. So that is a good thing to think about. Another question was, does your whole department really need to meet once per week or have that daily conference call? Too many meetings at work. Every time you turn around, you're meeting, okay? You're meeting to meet to talk about a meeting that's coming up next, okay? That takes away a lot of time. That is, yes, that takes out chunks of time of that you could use towards your projects that are due through your supervisor, for your supervisor. So could we cut down the meeting? Can we send emails to each other? I mean, can we have a newsletter or a something written up saying this is what we need to do? Check off if you read this. Let me know if you read it. Or have the computer set up where you can tell who read it and who didn't. So there is an understanding that they did see this. And reading an email doesn't take an hour away, okay? It takes more than about 2 or 3 minutes, maybe at the most 5, depends on what the email entails, to let you know what's going on or what needs to be done or what, you know, what's the next project or whatever. So it shouldn't be hard. So we might need to think that over when it comes to these meetings every week, is to do it through email. Okay. Do mesh with something like, do my activities mesh with my goals and values? That's a good question. Am I doing things that give my life meaning? Am I doing the right amount of things? So when you say that, in a sense, when we're doing all these things, is it part of the goals that I've set for myself? Having all these meetings, going to is that the goal toward me making sure that I'm going to be promoted at work? Will these meetings affect me being promoted? Will these activities that I'm doing affect my goals to start my own business, for instance? And we're going to talk about that. Are these part of my goals? That's a good question. Are we doing right amount of things? We have all this stuff going on all the time. This. Is it too much or is it right amount? How do we determine that? Now, once you put your plate out, what you have to do is you have to reduce your stack of negotiable tasks to reduce the stress. Check off. And I can only talk about how I handle things or the things I have. I have several different things going on. Earlier, I mentioned my radio show. That's on the local radio stations here. I definitely talk about my blog talk because this is very important to me. I have to do this, and I have been lacking in that. So you add that on. I'm an activist, which means I do rallies, I do protests, I keep up with the news on things that are going wrong. I manage a Facebook page for that, for Black News Weekly Radio, so I get all my information so that I'm able to tell other people about it. Thank everybody who sends news, who's on my news feed, that sends me so much great information that I can share with others. I also have a business, and my business is very important to me, but have I made it important to the point where I'm setting the goals and I'm meeting those goals? I'll be honest with you, not right now. I'm getting ready to rebrand. I'm getting ready to change everything because I need to do that. So those are on my plate. Now what I need to do is I need to cut them up, take a knife and cut them up, and each one that I cut up, I need to set a goal to that one. And believe it or not, I wrote down my goals. I wrote down my goals at the beginning of the year. Have I met them? Not many. I think I've met maybe about 3 of them so far. But it's just April, you know, so I have time. So I know I have to, in order for me to reduce my stress, which I've already started reducing my stress because I have made changes in those situations and those things that I'm dealing with. I used to have help with my videography business, but I no longer have the help, which was my son, so I'm doing everything by myself. So I can't take on a lot of projects like I used to. I have to take that time and put it toward something else, toward another goal that I have. So with that, that makes that's less stress on me because I had to come to the point of saying no. Everybody wants their story told, but I can't do everybody's story, especially when I'm doing it alone. So it's kind of hard. So I hate saying no, but I had to start saying no. And that's a stress reliever for me, is to start saying no. Okay, before we get to number seven, what I want to do is I want to take a break, and we'll come back.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Fabulous by Design, bath and body products, has something for everyone. Did you know that oatmeal soap is a great skin barrier? It exfoliates, it has pH balance, prevents itching, and moisturizes. This is just one of the wonderful products Fabulous by Design offers. For more information, visit our website, Fat and Fabulous by Design, LLC.biz. That's PhatandPhabulous by Design, LLC.biz. This is another proud sponsor of the Red Journal Radio Show.
I know that
Okay, we're back with the Red Journal Radio Show, and we're talking about 10 ways to handle stress, or 10 ways to have stress management. Now, we left off on number 7. Now, it says, are you leaving yourself vulnerable to stress? That means, are you doing things or participating in activities that lead to your stress? Whether you perceive something as a stressor depends on part of the current state of mind and your body. Now, something that I'm guilty of, not enough sleep. When you don't have a lot of sleep or not enough sleep and you're not getting the adequate enough sleep, believe it or not, you're leaving yourself wide open for stress. Okay. Like it says, if you don't have enough, if you're not getting sufficient sleep or physical activity during the week, you may be leaving yourself extra susceptible to stress. When you're sleep deprived, sedentary, and filled to the brim with coffee, even the smallest stressors can have a huge impact. I know, and again, I'm speaking from my experience. When I haven't slept enough, I do get stressed. But my problem is I don't sleep all the time. Sometimes I'm up to 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. Why, I do not know. Thank God right now I do not have a regular work schedule. When I say a regular work schedule, I don't get up and have to leave my house to go to work. My work is at home. So I can pick and choose what I want to do and when I want to do it and when I can sleep. I'm blessed that way for right now. Things could change every day, so I prepare myself for that. Okay. Now we know that if we don't get enough walking and sleep or whatever physical activity that you can do, and the less sleep you have can affect your stress level. Sometimes we fall asleep with the TV on, guilty, or we fall asleep with our phones in our hand, guilty, playing games or sending back emails and sending messages when people are popping up in your chat messenger on your Facebook page that need information or asking questions, because a lot of the people that I associate with and the people that I interview on my shows are people that I've known prior, but they have Facebook pages, and that's the way we connect sometimes, and through emails. So, yes. I do that. They'll pop up like 10, 11 o'clock at night. I'm laying. It's like, oh, my God, I hear it. So instead of ignoring it, I answer it. And, whoa, when you definitely start answering it, guess what happens? You're starting a conversation, and you don't get off the phone literally till like 1 o'clock in the morning. Like sometimes with my son, I do that. He's away, so. Sometimes at night is the only time I can really connect with him or talk to him, and we go back and forth, which I should be saying, good night, I got to go. I got to get up early in the morning. So, yeah, my sleep, I'm sleep deprived in every aspect, and I don't blame anybody for that. I blame myself because I can control that. And those are things I can control or you can control, is getting enough sleep. Number 8, it says preserve good boundaries. Wow. If you're a people pleaser, like me, I am, saying no, and I was just saying that earlier, saying no feels like you're abandoning somebody. Yes, I know that feeling, that's me. It makes you feel like you're a terrible person or you're throwing all your civility out of the your civility out of the window, which that's not what you're doing. But, of course, that you couldn't be further from the truth. Plus, those few seconds of discomfort are well worth avoiding the stress of taking on an extra activity or doing something that doesn't contribute value to your life. Now, when you say that, and I think helping others and doing others really does contribute to value of my life, because I think that's truly where your blessings come from, when you do for others, when you give back, when you pay it forward. So I don't know if I've really kind of I'm kind of iffy on that one because it's just how I am. And again, like I said, I could be creating this monster I'm dealing with. It says, one thing I noticed about productive, happy people is that they're very protective of their time in having their boundaries crossed. But not to worry, building boundaries is a skill you can learn. And if you tend toward people-pleasing, there's tips to help you with that, and we can get into that later. It says, number nine says, realize there's difference between worrying and caring. Wow, that is a good one. Sometimes our mindset can boost stress, so a small issue mushrooms into a pile of problems. We continue worrying, somehow thinking that this is a productive or at least inevitable response to stress, but we mistake worry for action. Didn't know that. According to Chad Lejeune, a clinical psychologist, he wrote a book called The Worry Trap, How to Free Yourself from Worry and Anxiety Using Acceptance and Commitment Therapy. Wow. Worrying is an attempt to exert control over the future by thinking about it. Man. Whereas caring is taking action. When we are caring for someone or something, we do the things that support or advance the best interest of the person or thing that we care about. Okay. He also uses the simple example of a houseplant. If you are away from home for a week, you can worry about your houseplants every single day and still return home to find them brown and wilted. Worrying is not watering. I like that synopsis. I mean, that example. If you're away from home for a week, you can worry about your houseplants every single day and still come home to find them brown and wilted. Worry is not watering. Man, that is a good symbolism. Similarity, fretting about our finances does nothing but get you worked up and likely prevent you from taking action. Caring about your finances, however, means creating a budget, paying bills on time, using coupons, and reducing how often you dine out. Okay. And you know what? Everything seems so simple. When I'm sitting here explaining this to you guys, and it sounds so simple and right to the point, and it could be done. It is not. And I know you guys probably know that there's no way this can automatically be done. There's no way. No way, shape, form, or fashion that this can automatically be done. It says just a small shift in your mindset from worrying to caring can help you adjust your reaction to stress. To see this distinction between worry and caring, he includes an activity where we can list responses for each one of these. For example, worrying about your health involves what? Caring about your health involves what? Worrying about your career involves what? Caring about your career. And even just saying that sounds different. Worrying sounds, wow, it's heavy already. Stress, I can feel stress when I say worry about my career. Caring about it sounds more relaxed. So let me say that again, because I'm just like amazed that this is really, like, really hitting me. Okay, worrying about your career involves what? Caring about your career sounds more lightened. You know, it's like, oh, wow, I care about what I want to do with my career. And these are the things that are going to be involved in me caring about my career. Worry sounds so negative, and it does give a negative impact to what you're saying when you use the word worry. Now, we're on number 10. Embrace mistakes, or at least don't drown in perfectionism. You know, there's a lot of us who are perfectionists. I am far from it. I cannot even think of being that way. I really can't. Because I always look at things in a free-flowing way. You know, I know the first time you do something, you want it to be perfect and so you don't have to do it again. But then how do you ever learn if you do it correct the first time, just in case you don't do that, how do you learn that, okay, this is a mistake I made. Now can I correct it and how would I correct it? So I guess, I don't know, I'm just not a perfectionist. I'm not. It says, another mindset can exacerbate stress is perfectionism. And I know some people who are just like that. I have a friend of mine that her stress reliever is cleaning. She cleans and cleans and cleans, and that's how she handles her stress. And I used to tease her about that. But she was like, her house, you could eat off the floors. There's no dust anywhere. Every day she comes home, she vacuums, she cleans up just about every day for no reason. And the thing is, she's the only one at home. So whoever messes up is her. There's nobody else at home. But that's the way she deals with her stress. And I teased her about it for a long time. And I hadn't talked to her in a while, so I wonder if she still does that. Okay. It says, trying to be mistake-free and essentially spending your days walking on eggshells is exhausting and anxiety-provoking. Talk about putting pressure on yourself. And as we all know, but tend to forget, perfectionism is impossible and not human anyway. Wow, that's deep. Bren Brown writes in her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, let go of who you think you're supposed to be and embrace who you are. I love that. Man, for perfectionism, it's not the same thing as striving to be your best. Perfectionism is not about healthy achievement and growth, and it's not self-improvement. Now you can understand why. It doesn't. That is amazing that they say that. It says, nothing good comes from perfectionism. Research shows that perfectionism hampers success. Even though, you know what, we want to equate perfection with success, it doesn't match. Wow. In fact, it's often the path to depression, anxiety, addiction, and life perilous. All the opportunities we miss, all the opportunities we miss because we're too afraid to put anything out in the world that could be imperfect. Man. Wow. Plus, mistaking can lead to growth. To overcome perfection, Ms. Brown suggests becoming more compassionate to yourself. We don't do that. We want to blame everything on us. We've never done nothing right. We have to stop that. Man, you can't be perfect. And I love this. And you know what? I think I want to get this book because I think it's very important. Man, I love that. Okay. Now, those are the 10 steps, and I want to go back over 10 ways that we can deal with stress, and I want to go back over them again. Give me a second because we're not finished with this. Yes. Okay, number one, figure out where the stress is coming from. Number two, consider what you can control and work on that. Number three says, do what you love. Number four says, manage your time well. Number five says, create a toolbox. Number six says, pick off the negotiables from your plate. Number seven is, are you leaving yourself extra vulnerable to stress? Number eight, preserve good boundaries. Number nine, realize there's a difference between worrying and caring. Number 10, embrace mistakes. Or at least don't drown in perfectionism. I love that. Okay? Now, here's another part of this that says how to reduce, prevent, and cope with stress. It says, It may seem that there's nothing you can do about stress. The bills won't stop coming. There will never be more hours in the day, and your career and family responsibilities will always be demanding. But you have more control than you might think. In fact, the simple realization in your control of your life is the foundation of stress management, having control over your life. Managing stress is all about taking charge of your thoughts, emotions, schedule, and the way you deal with problems. Man, and that goes back to the 10 ways we deal with stress. Okay? Now, the first one was saying, identify the sources of stress in your life. Stress management starts with identifying sources of stress in your life. This isn't as easy as it sounds, which we discussed earlier. Your true sources of stress aren't always obvious, and it's all too easy to overlook your own stress-inducing thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. You may know that you're constantly worried about work deadlines. We talked about that earlier. But maybe it's your procrastination rather than the actual job demands that leads to the deadline stress. Okay. Guilty. I am a big procrastinator, and it has not done anything good for me in my business, in my personal life, in my education. I am the biggest procrastinator. Right at this moment, I have a 3 to 4 page assignment that I have to do. I have to write. I have not touched it yet. I'm going to wait till tomorrow. So tomorrow is Saturday. It's the good day. You know, I should be relaxing and enjoying it. Instead of doing that this week, I wait till Saturday. So my Saturday will be filled with researching and putting together a 3 to 4 page essay on inspection and operation and production management, how to handle inspections. How to make the production line move smoothly. So that's what I'm going to do on my beautiful Saturday, which is usually my day. I chill, relax, maybe do a couple of activities, something I want to do. But tomorrow I'll be doing the paper because my time management was off. And guess what? I am the biggest procrastinator. Okay? Now, to identify true sources of stress, look closely at your habits, attitude, and excuses. Man, okay. You know how they say, if the shoe fit, wear, the shoe is fitting very well for me. Do you explain away stress as temporary? I just have a million things going on right now. Yes. Even though you can't remember the last time you took a breather. Do you define stress as an integral part of your work or home life? Things are always crazy around here. Or as a part of your personality. Remember I said people like to wear a coat of stress. They feel comfortable. They're secure in it. I have a lot of nervous energy. That's all. Okay. No, that's not what it is. Do you blame your stress on other people or outside events or view it as entirely normal or unexceptional? Do you? Until you accept responsibility for the role you play in creating or maintaining it, your stress level will remain outside your control. So, it says you have to play the role that this stress I created myself. When I take on several projects, especially video projects, I create that stress on my own. For instance, I've been working with this veteran, and I have been filming him doing his protest for a situation that happened with his son, with his father, excuse me. And he called me yesterday evening to be where he's going to put up his signs and do his protesting. Well, usually I'm able to go and film it and talk to him and whoever's there, interview them or whatever. And I have one tomorrow. And my thing is, I have to understand I have other things I have to do, so I have to tell him, no, I can't do it. You see what I'm saying? Do you know how much that hurts that I'm not doing? Now, if I had my son here, I could send my son out and let him do it, and then I can do whatever else. But see, because I'm by myself, I can't do that. So there's a difference. So I have to tell him, no, I'm not going to be able to come because I can't. I have too much I have to do. I have a lot of things I have to do tomorrow. So I can't put that in my time. It's no room for me to do that, especially from the time that he's there for. I can't do it unless I'm in that area, which I'm not going to be. I already know that. So I know I can't take time out to do that. I created that stress by me telling him, yes, I can do it. Or if I say, yeah, maybe I can come. No, I need to say flat out no because I have other obligations. And actually, it's the day before Easter, and, you know, people have family coming in, people are doing stuff, and I know I can't do it right now, okay? Now, that's in my control, so I need to deal with it because it is in my control. I can say no. It says start a stress journal. Wow. And before we go on to that, I want to take a little break, and we're going to come back.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... ...could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Goat milk soap is wonderful for people with dry or sensitive skin or conditions such as eczema and psoriasis. Goat milk contains alpha hydroxy acids such as lactic acid, which helps remove dead skin cells from your skin surface. This leaves loose cells on the surface of your skin smoother and younger looking. Water-based soaps may use harsh chemical acids to accomplish this, frequently with skin-damaging results. You can order a bar or two from Fat and Fabulous by Design, LLC.biz, a proud sponsor of the Red Journal Radio Show. We are back, and we left off on, this is Red Journal Radio Show, and we left off on how your stress level remain under outside of your control if you are the one who's creating it or you do not want to admit that you play a big role in the stress in your life. Next thing, and I think it's a great idea, and then we're going to go into easing some money-making ideals that we can work, we're going to work with. Okay, it says you can start a stress journal. A stress journal can help you identify the regular stressors in your life and the way you deal with them. Each time you feel stressed, keep track of this in your journal. As you keep a daily log, you will begin to see patterns and common themes. Write them down. Now, I started a journal, but I can't finish them. I used to finish them. I mean, I have about 10 of them that I've written, but that was back in the day. I tried to start a journal now because my mind is always going, I'm doing this and doing this. All the stress, I just cannot sit down and do it right now. Not saying that it can never be done. I just can't do it right now. And I know a lot of you guys can relate to that. Now, when I write okay, when the questions or the things that you need to have in your stress journal to get you started, what caused your stress? Make a guess if you're not sure. How you felt, both physically and emotionally, when the stress took place. How you act in response to the stress, and what you did to make yourself feel better. Those are the questions that you can use, or statements that you can use while you're writing in your stress journal. And you know, every day once you write in it, you know, 2 or 3 days, go back and see if you corrected whatever it was that made you stress, or is that stressor still there? And if it's still there, how do you handle it from there? If it's still there, how do you either get rid of it or understand that it's not in your control? Okay. Now, we're going to stop on stress management for today. And we'll come back. And we'll talk about, look at how currently you cope with stress. Look at how you currently cope with stress. That's what I want to say. And it talks about the unhealthy ways and learning healthier ways to manage stress. So we'll be talking about that on the next show. Now, let's get into discussing various ways to make extra money. Now, what I've done was I still need a lot of practice because I do have issues with talking. I've become very lazy in my words, very lazy. And if you're listening to me talking now, you probably can hear the laziness in my talk. And me, I want to blame it on being here in the South. But a lot of times it's because when I'm talking, I don't take time. And I have to learn to take time and talk. Being from New York, as you know, we talk very, very fast. But because I've become lazy in my speech, talking fast makes me not sound like it doesn't sound articulate at times. I try it, because my brain is moving so fast and I'm trying to get it out. I find myself writing like I talk, which is very bad. I need to distinguish which is which. I have issues with that. I'm not going to admit that. So, one thing I wanted to do was do seminars. I love doing speaking in front of people, believe it or not. I love talking, period. Why not make money doing it? I bought a lot of books dealing with how to make big money in seminars. And the seminar business is a very competitive business, but it's a business that you probably can do well with. It says, cash in on what you know, become an information entrepreneur. This book tells you everything you can do to create, market, and deliver seminars. Seminar business, yellow pages, hundreds of contacts at public seminar companies, speaker bureaus, corporate training, companies, seminar websites, and more. Now, if you think about doing seminars, okay, and you have to speak in front of people, I don't know if you ever heard of Toastmasters. Toastmasters is a very good place to start. Now, like I said, this book is by Paul Karasik, and it's a very interesting book. Now, the first thing you do whenever you think about doing this, you guys, everybody is not the same. This is for people who know that they feel sure and they feel sure of themselves and they feel that they can do this. They can talk in front of people. This is not for everybody, okay? This is for people who know that, hey, man, I got this. I think I can do this. I know how to talk in front of people, so I'm going to try that. I think that would be great, okay? See, let me say something, and if you listen to when I'm talking, I always say the word That is the biggest no-no in public speaking. And when I do my radio show, I find myself doing it over and over again. Believe it or not, I took public speaking, made A's in it. I'm very good with that, but I can't get rid of them And I think, you know, they say you're supposed to take a breath before you say before it comes out. That keeps you from saying it. Just stop talking instead of saying, just stop talking. As you can see, it didn't work for me. Oh, man, this is so funny. But it's very, very, very important. Now, let's talk about, say, for instance, the seminar business is what you want to do. You want to get out and give all the information that you have, and you want to make money off of doing these seminars. Let's start with that. Let's start with how are you going to choose a topic. How would you choose a topic? There's four critical features of a winning topic. Choose a topic you love. That should not be hard to do at all. You should be able to choose a subject that you love talking about, a subject that you love able to do that, okay? But there's a caution. Ultimately, in the public, if this is public and not you, who decides if the seminar topic is good or not? So you have to know what your public needs. You have to know what you and the person who's listening to you or the people that are listening to you, are you guys on the same common ground? Do you like the same thing? Say I want to do a seminar on riding bikes. I have to have a room full of bike riders in order to connect with them. So I have to choose my audience when I choose my topic, okay? It says you choose a topic that provides hard-to-find information that can be applied immediately. How hard is that? Information that is so hard to find, but you can use it right then and there. Let me say something about people, and I can relate to this in a sense. Lots of people don't like looking for information. This is why you do have an opportunity in seminars to work for you. It's because lots of people don't like looking for information. They just don't like doing it. So if you have a bundle of information that they want, and that's talking about bike riding, okay? If it's talking about bike riding and you have all this information. They're not going to look up what type of bike to ride, what's a good bike, what's a bad bike, what's this, what's this. You have all that information, bikes we recommend, where you should ride your bike, how you should take care of your bike. If you have all that information, because I know I'm an information person. I love a lot of information. So I'm going to gather all that information up and put it together and see if people can use that information. So that's like hard to find information. Or sometimes the information is not hard to find. People just don't have time to look for it. Time is very precious to a lot of people who are very busy. Lots of them that's not doing anything, but they do a lot of busy work. But if you give them specifics on what they should do and how they should do it, it should not be hard for them to get it done. It should be not hard at all for them, if you have all that information packed down and they're sitting there listening to it. And believe it or not, people will pay the money to listen to it. They will definitely pay the money to listen to it. So, then we said choose a topic that has a laser beam focus, okay? When you find that, say, let me see, the last year, there I go with, the last seminar I went to, I'm trying to figure out what it was. Where did I go? I went to a sewing seminar. That's what it was, a sewing seminar. And the person who was teaching the class, I know it was pattern making, how to make a pattern. And he actually had some real simple information and real simple instructions for us to go by in order to make a pattern. Automatically, that was something I would have never done on my own. And it was other people in there that were seamstresses and sewers that do it as for a hobby or even do it to make money with. They wouldn't have done it. And we sat there and all actually admitted that to each other. Excuse me. So when we did that, we realized that he got all this information right here. And it's very unusual to see a man teach a sewing class or a pattern making class, but he actually taught us how to do it. He actually taught us how to make a pattern. So that's what we did. We actually learned how to make a pattern. You guys, all right, you guys, we're going to take a break and I shall return. Interruption, and I'm sorry. What we're going to do is we're going to stop right here, and I want to come back to this conversation or this discussion again. We're going to start where I left off at, where it says choose a topic that has a laser beam focus. So we're going to do that when we come back to the show. So we already know that we have two different we're talking still about stress, and we're talking again about the seminar business. So we're going to come back to that on the next show. Once I see here, I go with the thing. I got to stop the I should have to pay every time I say because it's such a bad habit to have. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back to that. And I hate to end the show so early. And again, I want to thank you guys for listening in. But I'm going to have to end it right now. And I we'll reschedule. I mean, I will bring the show back. I'm going to try to bring it back Monday evening around this time, 8:30. And we can continue with this, and then we can start on something else. But again, I want to thank you guys for allowing me this time to introduce to you guys the Red Journal Radio Show. So, again, thank you guys, and I'm going to shut the show down early tonight, and I am going to, see you guys later, and happy Easter. Thank you for listening to the Red Journal Radio Show. Join us again for more news and information that will stimulate your mind, inspire you to step out your comfort zone.